What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Power Rankings Guide. I'm Paul. As always, I'm here with Joe.
Hi, everybody. We're back.
And you may be wondering, was there an episode of Survivor Michigan that aired that I missed? What is happening? Why are these guys back on my feed? Well, I will answer all of those questions right now. So, we never recorded a finale podcast. We watched the finale, obviously. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed it very much. We had lots of thoughts. But we just, for whatever reason, never got around to recording a finale podcast. And now that we're on the eve of the new era of Survivor Michigan, wow. It's beginning soon. We've got all sorts of new stuff to talk about. We figured we should close out Generation 1 of Survivor Michigan on a high note. And as always, that high note for us is just being the Power Rankings guys.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Paul. That was
Thank you.
Beautiful.
I appreciate that. Because we're super out of practice, so we were wondering if we still knew how to podcast. So I'm great. Joe took care of the technical side tonight, which I'm super grateful for. So we're just here shooting our shot. So let's take you back a couple months, shall we, to the finale of Survivor Michigan. We were going in with this really interesting final five. So you have Cooper, Leia, Sam, Andrew, and Bree. And we had power ranked them ourselves. We had discussed a ton of different scenarios and outcomes and say who wins here, who wins there. I don't know that we possibly could have been prepared for the craziness that turned out to be this finale.
That is true, except the one thing that I do remember is that I'm pretty sure one of us got the exact boot order in from fifth to first.
Really?
Yes.
Was that one of us, you? Because I don't remember it being me.
It was. Because I wanted to make sure. That's the only thing the finale was great. And side note, Paul rewatched the episode recently, so he's got his notes ready. So, I'm leaning on him. He's going to help me, go down memory lane with us all, which I'm very appreciative of. But I obviously what I do, you do, and what you do, I do. So I didn't want to take all the credit. This is a team effort.
It's totally fine.
If my memory serves me correctly, I'm pretty sure we got the five in a row.
I think you are the knowingest know-it-all going into next season of Survivor Michigan.
Oh, don't give me that pressure. But
I yes.
That. So I wanted to make sure we noted that because
I'm glad you did.
We're still doing this for a reason, I feel.
Yeah, we have a history of being pretty good at this. There was a post on Instagram recently that called someone else the most knowledgeable person about Survivor Michigan. So we're going to get to that later and see if someone's coming for our gig.
Yes.
So at any rate, so like Joe said, I rewatched the episode today. So we're recording this on Saturday. So I watched Michigan beat Ohio State today. For the third year in a row, headed to the Big Ten championship game. So after watching that incredible piece of University of Michigan content, I said, let's watch the other greatest piece of University of Michigan content, which is the Survivor Michigan All-Stars finale. And you know what? It really holds up, Joe. I got to tell you, we were so immersed in it for so long, right? Watching these movies every week, watching these filmic episodes every single week. That I think maybe we might have just taken it for granted a little bit. Mm. And going back and watching the finale today, it slaps. I was watching it today and I was like, I might have to start this from the beginning, to be totally honest with you.
Anybody
knows how long my rewatch list is, it's Joe, because he's always sending me shows to watch and rewatch. So if he knows I'm putting something else on the list, that is the highest version of praise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a little bit jealous that I should have probably rewatched it too, but that's okay.
You're probably going to after this, to be honest.
I know, right? It's
the memories are going to hit. Because if you remember correctly, we opened with Ian giving us this kind of welcome to the finale and he cries. And I forgot that he cries because if I had, I would have fast forwarded through it and not watched it because it also made me emotional watching it. Because I think we've talked a lot about Ian being a genius. And he obviously is. He's obviously brilliant and amazing. And I think really putting the finger on what part of that was is he really loves these people.
Mm-hmm.
And he really loves this story.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of why All-Stars is what it is and why it looks the way it looks and why it feels the way it feels and why it's so incredible is because he's so dedicated to telling these 21 stories that everybody gets a moment.
Right.
And the history of Michigan All-Stars is that, but especially in this finale, everybody here gets their flowers.
Yeah.
Big time.
Because even like on the real show, like the editors don't really know the players.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you can really tell like his connection to everybody and then like being able to edit that those storylines in this season was just incredible.
Yeah, it really is like it really feels very personal.
Yeah.
Like it really feels like this is the story of my friends and this semester in college that we all spent together.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that makes All-Stars, especially this Michigan All-Stars, so special and unique, even among College Survivor seasons that we love, is it really, this really, there's so much like football games content and parties content. And we're at Espresso Royale and we're at, you know, Rick's and we're at all these different places. We're at football games that you're like, these people love each other. Like really, like these people really love each other. And so it becomes more of like they play this game in the context of their lives that I really think Ian was able to capture really beautifully.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Ian made me tear up today. So thanks for that, buddy. Brees starts the episode by saying Leia is in control of the game and Sam is going to win. It's the first thing she says in the episode.
Wow.
And it's so good because one of the things really from Brie, we talked in our last podcast, remembering as it was, about how we didn't think there was really a path to victory for Brie at this point. Really after the Adam boot was probably the end of that and kind of feeling like Brie may have misread that situation. Now, from stuff we've heard from cast members and stuff afterwards, it seems like maybe a Brie Andrew Adam situation might have been really good for Adam, actually. All things considered, the true winner of Survivor Michigan All-Stars. So we feel like Brie probably is coming into this finale close to drawing dead, if not drawing totally dead. But man, she gets a lot of great moments here where you can clearly see she knows what she's doing. And she's here and she talks about, we're going to get to this a little bit later and I want to make sure we get to this, but Brie talks a lot about having a seat at the table throughout this finale, and I think it's really lovely, and I think it really really closes the circle on Brie's character and really makes me love her even more, but we're gonna get to that.
Perfect.
Andrew still expects to win. You know,
love the confidence
Andrew this season. God bless him. I love him. I'm so glad he's here. Frozen t-shirt sucks. I've done it before as a youth group kid. Frozen t-shirt has been on the agenda at many a summer camp, many a pep rally, and it sucks every time. It's really hard to do. It's no fun. It wouldn't be an episode of Michigan All-Stars though unless somebody took their shirt off, so thank you, Sam, for taking that off the list. We also get shirtless Andrew here as well, but Sam is the only one to actually rip his shirt off during the episode, so we appreciate that. A super clutch win by Sam, because he really, there's a lot of different ways this could have gone depending on who wins this immunity challenge. And Sam really is able to clutch that out, which is really, really impressive. Cooper wants to strangle Brie at one point during this. And it's so funny because Brie is kind of giving Cooper like, I'll just decide on the day, or like, I don't know, I'm going to go with whatever I feel like. And Cooper's brain just short circuits. Like he just, like, Survivor Robot Cooper cannot handle the idea that Brie is just going to go on her gut feeling and just decide on the day. And he was just like in this confessional, like he's like vibrating, like his energy, like he's so like, why is she saying this? Does she not want to win this game? What is so good? It's amazing. And then we get the first Brie moment. I really, going into watching today, I didn't expect to want to spend so much time on Brie, but I actually do.
Nice.
Because he talks about how Survivor inherently is a game about excluding people. That every episode, somebody gets excluded.
Wow.
And so she always wanted to be somebody who was including people and making sure people felt included. And I thought, in the context of the way we've seen Brie play, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I necessarily totally agree with the premise about Survivor being a game about excluding people. But if you look at it on the face of it, I mean, every episode, somebody does get the most votes to leave.
Right. So
there,
right.
there is absolute truth to that and the mm-hmm. way to see the game that way. And I loved that Bree in confessional, even though she kind of does it at Final Tribal, but she doesn't really do a great job. But I love that in confessional, Bree is really able to articulate what is the Bree game and why is Bree playing the way she is. And it makes a lot of her decisions make sense in times when she could have made certain moves and didn't make certain moves. She doesn't vote for Leia at a certain point. She kind of does things that we're kind of like, okay, this makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. This for me closes the circle on the Bree logic, which I loved.
Yeah.
Cooper at one point tells Leia, I'm not going to fail a class for this. And everyone at home is like, yes, you would. Yes, you would. He's like, my parents would kill me. I wouldn't fail a class for this. And nobody buys it. Nobody. No. It's years later, I'm sitting at home and I'm going, no, I think you would. I think
yeah.
you would fail a class for this, my dude.
Yeah.
Why we
he just needed him. To say that so when his parents watched it in 3 years, they would yeah. make sure he was still, you know, focusing on school.
Cooper was playing a long game.
Yeah.
Cooper, sadly, eating a peanut butter pretzel is my forever mood. There's just a moment when unnamed roommate, so we don't know which roommate this is, but unnamed roommate hands Cooper a peanut butter pretzel. And he just is like, this is going to work. I'm going to make this work. I want to figure out a way to make this work. And he's just like, and it's just so relatable to like when you're in a moment and you just know you're about to get voted out. You just know you're about to get screwed. And you're like, no, I can flip this. I can make this work. I can do this. And you just know you can't. It's never going to work out. This jury is very hot. When they're all sitting there at the Final Five Tribal Council and they're sitting around, and I'm like, every single person here looks hot. I'm just about it. They're kind of in their like winter gear. It's like giving LL Bean catalog. All of them are very hot. There's three quotes here that I want to go over. So they do this whole kind of song and dance at the Final Five Tribal Council that never is like isn't really real and never amounts to anything, where Sam is like, I'm not voting for Cooper. I'm voting for Andrew. And they go through this whole thing and blah, 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 or whatever. Anyway, Sam says, this Brady is why you never stop playing the game. And it's so good. It's just quintessentially Cooper.
Yeah, that is.
At one point, Leia stands up and says, I'm just trying to figure out who to blame right now. And I'm like, yeah, same. And then at one point, Andrew, I believe, is the one who says, he's my friend, but he's a scumbag. Like, yeah, all of this is A plus material from the final five here. They are all there. I love that Andrew has final words prepared on his phone. He's just very Andrew. And there's also this great moment with Andrew, because Andrew is somebody we've had a lot of fun with this season.
Yeah.
Kind of like dogging, kind of joking about he was horrible in these immunity challenges, except for the one where his girlfriend carried him to a victory.
Right, right.
So we've had some fun with Andrew this season, but there's this great moment in the finale where he is voting and he ends up voting for Leia because they're trying to get him to vote for Cooper maybe or blah, blah, whatever.
Mm.
And he goes, I have to play this game by the code I have always played this game with. And of course, Ian being genius, we flash back to we're going to fucking Rocks. And like that moment, and it's just like, that's oh so yeah, good. Like I remember now why he was the number one person we had to have for All Stars. Like, right. Oh yeah, I remember why Andrew, we love Andrew, and we're so glad he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, like all of this makes sense now. I totally get it. And it's, I love that Andrew gets his flowers out the door, even though like he's been called arrogant, he's been called this, blah, 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 whatever. Like, no, it's still our buddy Andrew. We right. still love him.
Right.
I would watch him play All-Stars again. 100 any day of the week, I would watch Andrew play Survivor. He's great. So I loved that he got that great moment out the door. Next we move on to what I've labeled Diapergate.
Oh my God.
Who is and isn't wearing adult diapers here?
Incredible.
We had this conversation last season. We had this conversation with Dale during season 4.
Yes.
I didn't know we'd ever have to have it again.
No.
I didn't. Yeah. This final challenge is loony. This final challenge is absolutely loony. These people are crazy. These people are lunatics. Brady looks furious that he has to be a part of this. He looks like, why am I here? Why did I agree to this? Brady looks like he's rethinking all of his life choices.
Yeah.
Here, he's thinking, if I had just won my season, then Dylan would have to be standing out here doing this, and I could be at home doing something else. So there's also a moment where they're all hanging onto the statue, and they're all talking about how they're going to be there forever, and somebody hands Leia a bottle of wine, and she's drinking it, and she goes, I'm playing a game for fun. I'm playing a game for fun. And I'm like, this is me, like, when we're at Friends game night, and I'm, like, three drinks in, and we're playing code names, and somebody doesn't get my very obvious clue, and I have to just shout, like, I'm playing a game for fun. Just remind myself, like, this is supposed to be fun. Brie also does this thing where she's like, I think I might, maybe I should have voted for Leia in confessional, and it's very funny. Where she's like, looking back, like, maybe I shouldn't have voted for Andrew. But it's also kind of like water under the bridge. Like,
yeah.
Great. She's cool. Leia hyping up Sam to do this psych out with Cooper is so funny. Like, there's a scene where she's like, you're going to call him, and you're going to tell him you're changing your mind, and you're flipping it. You got him. And Sam's like, okay. And they're like, yeah. It's just like, it's like these two kids coming up with this crazy scheme that doesn't really, I mean, the three of them end up voting for Andrew. Nothing changes.
Right.
But they're trying to get into Cooper's head to like psych him out and be like, he won't stand there. He's going to give up. And it's like, this dude is never giving up this final challenge. Cooper was at Survivor Michigan season one. He was there. And he's also seen it on TV.
Right.
He's not doing this. No. He's not getting mitched. He's not like, this is not happening. No, we're not. If there's one thing Survivor Michigan has persistently taught us, it's don't let go of the thing.
Right.
No matter what happens, no matter what anybody says, don't let go of the thing.
Do not do it.
So there is so much Survivor Michigan history during this segment that is so fun. They go for 8 hours and 43 minutes.
That's a work day.
Yeah.
That is incredible. In the cold. Wasn't it like November, December at this point?
I mean, it would have to be towards the end of the semester because it's day 100. Or no, I'm sorry. Final Tribal Council is day 100. So this is like day 95 or whatever.
Still, yeah.
So you're 3 months in. Semester starts at the beginning of September. So yeah, you're at the beginning of December here.
I give them all props. And what was that the record? Or
no, it was they beat the record. They beat the record because they did 8 hours and 43 minutes on the thing, and they did like 1 hour 43 on 1 foot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, if they had kept them on 2 feet, they would still be there.
Right.
Like, three years later, they would still be there. 100%. So it's...
I forgot about the 1 foot.
It's amazing. It's...
I love seeing that, though, right? Like, it's not for $1 million, but... Like, this is why we love College Survivor. It's like a lot of the players really do whatever it takes to get to the end. And like, who would stand somewhere in the cold for 8.5 hours?
It's crazy. But it makes all of this worth it. Like, all of the content that they've put out, all of the responses that have happened from the fan community, the podcast, the hours, the after shows, all of that. Like, it's totally justified.
Yeah.
Because you're like, these people, no matter whatever anybody else could contribute to the community in the aftermath, it would never be more than what these 21 people gave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would never be more than Sam and Cooper standing there for 8 hours and 43 minutes. Like, you could never outdo that kind of gift. And so it makes it so much more gratifying from the other side of it, the watching it side of it, to be like, yes, we love this. We are obsessed with this rightfully because you guys deserve this kind of response from the fan community. It's so good. I just can't say enough about that. They literally are like, someone is going to have to come get us because we can't walk home. Like, they're just sitting there like, Matthew, please come get us. We can't walk home. Like, it's just like, the gravity of that situation is so funny, but also so like, oh wow, like this is real, like this is a real thing, like these people genuinely can't walk.
Right, they could have gotten like hypothermia or something.
Yes, it's amazing. And so, of course, Cooper goes home here and forth. And I will say, Cooper gets his flowers out the door. It's sad to lose Cooper in
Florida. Yeah.
But we get this montage of Cooper snuffing other people's torches. Mm-hmm. We get this whole thing. Cooper really gets his flowers out the door.
Yeah.
And well deserved.
Yeah, he's a legend. And unfortunately, a lot of good players go out in fourth place.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, you know, you probably can't do a college Survivor players Mount Rushmore without putting Cooper on it.
Yeah.
Even after not winning All-Stars, mm-hmm. I think he's probably still there.
Right.
He just is incredible. He'd be a first pick for any kind of fans versus favorite season. You'd have to have Cooper there. Mm-hmm. He just is that dude.
Yeah.
And he really embodies what we love about College Survivor is, you know, he says, I came back to host and was a part of keeping this community alive so I could come back and play All-Stars. Like, and
that's dedication.
Like, you know, he gave years of his life to this. And would we have loved to seen him go out at the Jackson blindside? Absolutely. It would have been the greatest episode of College Survivor history. It already kind of was.
Yeah.
But it is so much better to have him go here in the long game and to really spend our time with him and really get to see him work, get to see him use the Phantom vote correctly. He just had a great run.
Yeah.
Just an incredible run the whole time. There, you can't say enough good things about how Cooper played. He just is an icon, a College Survivor icon. And we love him.
Yeah.
We love him as a host. We love him as a player. There's just not enough good things to say about Cooper there. So let's see. Maggie hosting the roundtable is A1. I didn't watch the jury roundtable because I was trying to like get through this so we could have time to like actually record this podcast.
Yeah.
But bringing back Maggie to host was
that was perfect. Direct. Yeah, exactly.
The more Maggie content, the better. I think I don't think anyone would be surprised if they say that is the Power Rankings guy motto is that the more Maggie we can get in our lives, the better.
Yeah.
All around. Final Tribal Council Night 100 really puts a button on this. This has been going on for a long
time.
And some of these people have been playing, you know, like Megan and Jackson have been playing for like 150 days before this.
Right.
They started lying to people like months and months ahead of time. So
that's right.
For Megan on the jury, this is like her 300th night. And that's not counting playing season 4. So she's been playing for like a year. Survivor. So like, God bless her. She probably needs some time off.
Yeah. I hope she's doing well wherever she is.
Me too, always. For the pro wrestling fans that will be watching and listening to this, Kevin is very MJF coded with this long scarf. That's not going to mean anything to you, but I had to say it for the just in case. Honestly, just in case George is ever going to listen to this. that one's for you, George. Leia's opening statement here is fantastic. Because we had been saying for weeks leading up to this, like, how is this jury going to receive Leia?
Right.
Like, are they just going to eviscerate her? And the answer is a little bit. But she really comes into this Final Tribal Council kind of saying, like, listen, I love Survivor. No matter what you may have heard me say otherwise, it's kind of almost this, and she's going to kill me for saying this, but it's kind of almost this Trumpian defense of, like, you may have heard me say I hate Survivor 500 times, but I really love Survivor. And Sam is happy to cut that if that's going to get me assassinated by President Leia in the future. But it's like she comes in and is just unabashedly like, I love Survivor. No matter what you contrary, I love this game or whatever. And you know what? It works.
Yeah.
She snows these people over. It's so, I love this opening statement from Leia so much. I'm so into it. So let's see. What else do I have here besides that? Bree takes credit for voting out Adam, which is good because it's a move, but it's bad because you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things that kind of happens because, like, a lot of times in these three-person final tribals, right, there's kind of the third person. It's kind of like the Laurel person who's like, there's Dom and Wendell, and then there's, like, Laurel is here. And
Bree,
I don't think Bree is a goat. And like, as Lucy says in her opening statement, like Lucy says, like, I was a goat. You're not a goat. Like, you can get votes here.
Yeah.
But like, she's very much in that Laurel place of like, you would have to like really thread the needle to win this year. And it's kind of like these third place people always have to do this where they take credit for something. And it always ends up being kind of something like, okay, yeah, you did that, but you probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, that is tough.
But she does a good job of it, of owning it and being like, no, I was in the driver's seat and I was making decisions. So kudos to Brie.
Yeah.
Everyone on the jury gets their own music cue when they come up to stand. Like Sarah gets a magic school bus and everybody gets kind of,
so good.
God, it's so good. Sarah really eats Leia up here.
That was she really iconic.
She really eats her up. Yeah. Sarah.
I might have to go just back and watch that again.
You could just go back and watch that again. And, yeah. As someone who has sat on a jury in front of Sarah, Joe, just be thankful you did not get the Leia treatment.
yeah, that would have been bad.
Yeah. Sarah's amazing, though.
Yeah, we
love her. She's so good. She's so good in this. Sam really wins Adam's vote throughout this whole final travel council. I don't think Sam or anyone knows that it's going to end up being the deciding vote, but he really, because he is so dedicated to giving Adam credit here, that it's a perfect microcosm of Sam, where Sam is a good dude. Like, you just get the vibe from Sam that he just is a genuinely good dude.
Yeah.
But also, he knows how to leverage that in ways that bring him good survivor outcomes. So do I think Sam is giving Adam credit just to try and schmooze him? No. I think Sam is doing that because he's trying to be honest about the nature of the game and say, no, that was Adam really saved me when it should have been me, but it was Dylan instead.
Right.
You know, he really, I think, is being honest there. But
yeah.
Do I think Sam is also keenly aware that this is going to be good for him when it comes to jury votes? Yes, I do. I do think Sam is aware of that. And you know what? It ends up making all the difference.
Wow.
It's so good. Bree has a really good final tribal council. And this is what I want to get to with Bree. Bree talks a lot about having a seat at the table. And in the, like, at two different points during this finale, she talks about playing Survivor as a woman of color. And about what it means for her to make the final three and get this seat at a table. And I don't know that it's something I was super paying attention to the first time I watched the finale. Because obviously you're watching, you're like, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Oh my gosh, it's the buildup of this for years.
Yeah.
And on the rewatch, man, do I appreciate Bree. And this is another part of like something that makes me want to go back and rewatch the whole season.
Yeah.
Is because she's talking about like that people like her don't always get a seat at the table and sometimes have to fight for a seat at the table. And it just, it so crystallizes this idea of Bree being like, I fought to get here. I knew I was going to get here weeks ago. I'm the only person here that can say I knew 3 weeks ago I was going to be sitting here.
Yeah.
And just, it makes me, it does two things for me. It makes me really appreciate Bree, and it makes me really appreciate Megan, that Megan heard that. Because she says when she votes for Bree, she says, I don't want to vote for Sam or Leia. She says, but I also love the under-the-radar game and the subtle game, and I want to give that credit.
Yeah.
And, like, I never connect, because when I watched it the first time, I'm always connecting with Megan being like, I just don't want to vote for Sam or Leia. And that's funny. And we love Megan. So it's always going to be funny. But then connecting that idea with, I want to honor Bree's game with this idea that Bree came in saying, I want the full experience. I want the whole thing. I want a seat at the final three, all of these things. I walked away from this finale being like, hell yeah. Like, good for you, Bree, because yes, especially in Survivor and in reality shows, women of color have been so underrepresented.
Right.
And have been voted out at clips that are way disproportionate to other demographics. And so for her to recognize that and play this game and have that be a part of her story, I think is so cool. especially in the idea that this was all happening before the diversity initiative, before the 40s and Survivor. Bree is a trendsetter here. Bree is having this conversation before, you know, Reddit was having this conversation, before Twitter was having this conversation. Bree was really not just saying, yeah, you know, it's harder, blah, 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 whatever, but really then taking that idea and turning it into a method of gameplay. I loved it. And you know what it did for me? It made her vote for Adam totally make sense to me. Because she said,
okay,
at the final four, I'm going to get screwed. Because it's going to be Sam and Adam and Leia and me at the final four. And I'm going to get screwed. Because Sam's going to insist on taking Adam.
Oh, wow.
And so you look back and we were like, Bree, what are you doing? This is your only final three to win at the time. And look back at that and all of those things. And now in that context, go, oh, that vote for Adam sealed her spot in the final three. She was never not going to make the final three.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Really? Genuinely? Did I wake up this morning thinking I was going to have a revelation and love Bree? No, I that wasn't what I was thinking during my morning routine. You know what? I love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love Bree. Love that for her game.
Yeah.
Love that she's having that conversation. Love that Ian put it in there and centered that so that we could have this moment. Cannot say enough good things right now, truly, genuinely about Bree.
That's awesome.
Amazing. Megan smiles the whole time while she goes for Bree to win the game, by the way. The whole time. And it's like, guess who's back, baby? She's back. She never stops smiling. Even if she's saying she just doesn't want to vote for Sam and Leia, she smiles all the time.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Megan, we love her.
The other thing, and we can kind of, I guess, let's save this for a moment.
Okay.
So we have the votes come in. We go through this. The editing is just brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's so good. We go back and forth. We see people while the votes are being read, people changing their minds of voting. And then, of course, we get the moment with Adam. It like the Grinch, my heart grew three sizes again. I cried the first time. I didn't cry watching it the first time when he switches his vote, and I just instantly started to cry. And I don't even really know why. I think it's because I love Adam so much.
Yeah.
And he's just such a special boy to me that, like, I'm just like, yes, you did it. I'm so proud of you. And today it also made my heart swell, because I'm just like, it's such a great moment for these two people who clearly had this really special bond. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then we see 6-5-1 is the final. Sam is the winner of Survivor Michigan All-Stars.
Sam.
Okay. A couple things. I genuinely think that one of the moments where Sam wins the... I think there's two moments when Sam wins the game. I think when Sam gives Adam total credit for saving him at the Dylan vote and doesn't try to take any credit for it. Just says, no, that was totally Adam. If it wasn't for Adam, I would have been gone in the pre-merge. Huge. And secondly, and perhaps ironically, is Cooper's question to him, where he says, tell me why you should win this game, but don't use any logic, just use the emotional appeal. And Sam gives this speech about how he was like a kid watching Survivor and used to like sit on the bus and look out the window and daydream about winning Survivor. And that was like all he wanted to do. And like, it's just this moment where you're like, because the whole weakness of Leia's game, and that came up multiple times during Final Tribal, is, do you really want to be here? Like, are you really want to be here? And so for Sam at the very end to be like, I've been dreaming about this my whole life. Like, this means the most to me. Like, he never says that, but in his answer, he basically says, this just means more to me. It's so good. And it's so moving. And it's, oh my God, it really, you walk out of this so happy for Sam. Mm-hmm. Like, even though, like, I love Leia, a Leia win would have been a really interesting story.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been really great. Love Cooper. Would have loved to have seen Cooper win. you know, love Bailey, would have loved to have seen Bailey win, would have loved to have seen Adam win, would have loved to have seen Sarah win, would have loved to have seen Kevin win. You know, I would have loved to have seen Kevin win. Would have loved to have seen Megan win. You know, there's, we could say that I could do this 21 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's just something about the Sam win that's just so damn satisfying.
Yeah.
And also the knowledge that, like, they were doing Keep Your Torch Lit pre-All-Stars. So, like, not only, like, Sam, like, it would be one thing to be like, yeah, I'm doing this because I know I'm about to win All-Stars. But, like, Sam is doing this before any of that happened.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, it's amazing. Like, it's incredible. Like, he really does just love this.
Yeah. And, I think it speaks to, like, us as, like, Survivor fans, because we've been fans since we were 12 or however old we were when it came out. And, like, I think sometimes that can be the deciding factor, is like who, not only who wants it more, but like what it means to them. And it's like, you know, his, however old he was, I mean, I know he's a lot younger than us. So like, however old he,
we don't need
he
to was, say a lot. That's fine.
No.
We
yeah.
need to cover that.
There Whatever age he was on the bus, like daydreaming about that, like, you know, his future self has now done it. Like, yeah, maybe it wasn't the island and the actual show, but like, a college Survivor All-Stars win is major.
It's major.
It's so
we
major.
Don't have to pretend it's not. It's no. major.
Yeah.
It's major. It's yeah. a big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't care that you didn't get $1 million. I don't care no. that you went the number one rated show on Wednesday nights on CBS. This right. is a big deal. It's yeah. a huge accomplishment. I hope it's on his resume, because it would sure as hell be on mine.
Yeah.
I hope it's on his LinkedIn. Like, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. And so another part of this conversation that I wanted to have, first of all, two more things.
Yeah.
My all-time favorite Disney song is Go the Distance from Hercules.
Wow.
It's number one all-time for me. And so hearing that, like, and hearing that music start to swell, it, like, in the original watch-through, it very much got me, because it was like, I was like, oh my God, this is my favorite. It was so good. Amazing. We're in the credits also.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yay, so, we've made it.
We also got our flowers this season.
We I'm did. Not oh my God, I completely forgot about that.
We got our flowers from Sam and Ian. We got our flowers from the Aww. Keep Your Torch Lit game. We got our flowers from Bailey. This was a victory lap for the Power Rankings, guys. Let me tell you.
It really was.
Better than we ever could have imagined. The All-Stars content was, I can't even talk about it.
Aww.
It was such a joy for us.
How did I forget that? I'm so glad you reminded me.
I am too. That, I should put that on my resume. Just be.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I got to do some editing after
put
this.
Put that on my LinkedIn. So let's talk Sam.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the Power Rankings guys. And what we do is power rank. So what I didn't really want to power rank Sam against the other Survivor Michigan winners, because I feel like it's totally different.
Yeah.
Game.
Yeah.
You know, the All-Stars thing is a totally different game. So here is what I want to do for us.
Ooh, okay.
So I've got it. I've got
Paul's putting me on the spot here, because I don't know what this is.
Five names for you.
Okay. Do I need paper and pen?
I mean, it's you, so you probably want paper. I know how your brain works.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
So we have Sam Morris, of course, is the first name.
Okay.
We have Amber Mariano. We have Sandra Diaz-Twine. We have Jeremy Collins. And we have Sarah Lucina. These are the five people who have won all returner seasons of Survivor.
Oh.
Now, I'm not counting International Survivor, because I haven't watched it. And I know you guys are going to flame me in the comments because I haven't watched
Survivor. Yeah, you got to watch it.
I know. We've had this conversation. So those are the five people who have won all returner seasons of Survivor. So.
And are we power ranking them?
Yes, we are.
Because I'm doing that right now.
We are power ranking them from five to one. This is going to be a tough, tough sled. I know. But I didn't think it was fair to compare Sam to the other Survivor Michigan winners, because it's so different. You know what I mean? Like, so many of these games, as much as we love every single person who's ever played Survivor Michigan, so many of these games had players that weren't playing at all-star caliber, I think is the nice way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And while we love all of those four winners and honor all of their games completely, I think it's better to put Sam in the rankings with these four and say, okay, where do we go there? So,
okay.
Let's start at number five.
Yeah, I have my five.
Okay, let's start at number five then.
I have Sarah Lacina.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the correct word is. I'm not a big fan of her, so I'm sorry if anybody out there is. So I just immediately put her at five.
Okay.
For that reason.
Interesting. I have her at four, so it's not okay. We're not like way, way off on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so who do you have at four then?
Amber.
I have Amber at five. Okay. So I figured that was what we did. That's why.
Yeah.
I agree. I think these are both good games. Like, I'm not an Amber hater. Like, I'm not a Sarah hater. I think these are both good games, but I think these are also both games that pretty heavily relied on other people to get them where they were.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to put Tony in this list. What the hell?
Oh, shoot.
Yes.
I was thinking too. I was like, aren't there more?
Yeah, I think there's only the five all-returner seasons, right? Because it's All-Stars, then Heroes versus Villains. Then we don't get full returners again until Game Changers. Or Second Chances, then Game Changers. Then Winners of War.
Winners of War, okay.
So there's a...
Oh gosh, I have to add Tony to this?
Yes, you do. And I really don't know where to put him. That's probably why I probably did a subconscious block of trying to figure out where to put him, because this is really, really tough now.
Okay, I'm just going to throw him in between two people. Which I guess kind of gives away where he's at.
Sort of. So that would put, for you, Sarah at six, Amber at five. For me, Amber at six, Sarah at five. Mm-hmm. Both great games. Anytime you win an all-star season of anything, it's amazing accomplishment. But I think these are both games that really relied heavily on other people to get there. I think Sarah gets very, very lucky at Advantage Geddon. What happens to Ceree happens to Ceree.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very lucky that happens there. Mm-hmm. I think it's very hard for her to come up with a win in a lot of other combinations of final threes than mm-hmm. the one she ends up in.
Yeah. I will say just one thing that I remember about that season that she did. I did like how she kind of played Sierra.
Yes.
Getting the, the legacy from her.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember liking that move from her. So I
very,
do want to.
Very good.
I'll throw that out there.
Absolutely. And again, Amber played a very good game. Again, she required, much like Sam, she required some early saving by Ethan, who they ended up later voting out.
Mm-hmm.
She gets saved in favor of Ethan by Lex and Kathy, who they later end up having to vote out. So there is some similarity to the Sam game there.
Yeah, but yes.
Feel like...
And that's also because Rob, like, went over to them after and was like, keeper, keeper, keeper.
Yeah, if you can, very famously, yeah. So I feel like that's kind of those two exist on a tier. Then we move up to the four spot.
I'm like... Now second guessing myself, but should I
put you on the spot for this?
I know you did.
And it's really evil.
Like, I didn't have my normal like 48 hours to process this and change my list 20 times.
Yeah,
I'll just go with my gut and I won't change anything.
Okay.
So I have Sandra.
I also have Sandra.
Okay.
and I am the queen. I love
she's incredible.
Queen.
Yeah.
Love her. Amazing. It is very hard for me to move you any higher on this list with like no challenge wins or like any kind of prowess in that part of the game. And then also Sandra is so perceptive and so good at getting to the end, like just very, very good at that part of the game. But it also still required a fairly decent amount of mistakes by other people.
Mm.
You know, the JT vote off at the merge,
mm-hmm.
really, Sandra is saying, you know, if Sandra has her way, she is saying to the heroes, let's vote for Russell here.
Yeah.
So if Sandra has her way at the merge in Heroes versus Villains, she's in with those five heroes, but there's a very small chance she makes the end. And even if she does, she probably doesn't win sitting next to any hero at that
point. Right.
So there is a, you know, she's amazing. And again, we're ranking winners of All-Star seasons. So nobody, you know, everybody here is iconic and amazing, but I think I have to put her at four for that reason.
Yeah.
And now is when the tough gets really tough.
Yeah. I don't know if my reasons make full sense, but we'll just go with it. Who do you have at three?
I know this is, you know, I know it's going to seem like I'm really pushing Sam up the ladder here because I love him, but I actually have Tony at three.
I had Tony at two. So okay. I put Sam at three.
You put Sam at three. Okay.
I think the reason why I put Tony up is just, I feel like winning a Winners at War season, like you're beating all these people that have won their season already. I feel like that's got to bump you up the list a little bit.
The only thing that separates the two of them for me, because I do feel like they actually kind of had similar-ish games. Where they were kind of in control, but there was also a lot of other big players around them, other big personalities around them. So they, even though they were somebody who came into the game as one of the top three threats in the whole game, they actually really managed their threat levels very well, got into groups very well, got worked with people who wanted to work with them. The only difference for me is what happens at the Final Four. Where...
Yeah, refresh my memory.
Well, because there's kind of that whole Final Five, Final Four thing where Ben is kind of like, whatever, like you could just like, whatever, kind of vote me out. And then Tony has to win Fire Making at the Final Four, correct?
Yeah, because he goes up against Sarah.
Yes. Right? Yeah, and he kind of is in that position where he doesn't win the immunity challenge and he has to win the Fire
Making. I'm sorry if someone is listening to this and has not seen Winners at War yet.
I feel like the
but intro hopefully everybody...
this part of I feel like the intro to this part of it should have
that's true.
I feel horrible if it doesn't, but and that's the only reason I put Sam at two instead of Tony is because Sam beast modes these last two challenges, including 8 hours and 34 minutes on the bow statue.
And I'll be honest, I like Sam more than Tony, so I could have easily put Sam in number two.
We like Sam a lot, whatever, it's fine. We're not gonna be overly mushy about Sam anyhow. So then we both have at number one
Jared. We got
spoilers for Survivor's the great Jeremy Collins. Just an incredible game. So good.
And Second Chances was such a good season.
Such a great season. So we will put him at number one. So fun to be able to canonize Sam in this way.
Yeah, that was just a fun game.
And just really honor him and his contribution as a Survivor lover, to put him amongst the legends of the legends and the icons of the icons and really give him his due. Because he's awesome. And like, it's so stupid that we're saying this because we're like, we know he's going to listen to this. So we're not just like shouting this into the ether. Like, we're talking about someone who's going to hear this in the next 48 hours.
Right.
So like, it feels a little weird to be like, Sam is amazing. Hi, Sam. But like, that basically is what we're doing. We're like, he's great. He's dope. He's an amazing representative for this series.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy to carry that torch as the All-Stars winner. And yeah, couldn't be happier. Love this whole cast, but Sam really is somebody who you feel awesome about as a winner. And in 40 years, when we do Survivor Michigan Winners at War, Sam is a first round draft pick. we're not that far off, right? Because they do two a year. He's just two semesters a year.
They're already in the, high teens?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could definitely do Winners at War like in a few years.
Okay, so whoever is running Survivor Michigan right now, when you get to 20 winners, call me. We will. I'm dead ass serious right now on the podcast.
And he is. Whoever this is, and if listening,
call me. We will make Survivor Michigan Winners at War happen.
Yeah, we'll help.
I'm completely serious. I have a whole crew that will do it. Joe and I, we will tag team. We will be your Cooper and Brady. I'll be Cooper because I have glasses.
I'm gonna have to hit the gym a little bit more, but that sounds good. We have time.
Yeah, we have time. We have time. So we will make Survivor Michigan Winners at War happen.
Oh, okay. I love this. I hope this happens.
I'm completely serious.
And you all get to meet us.
Yeah, exactly. Which
that should be
feels like a prize for everyone involved.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So season six. The reason we're here. Well, the power rankings guys are going to keep on power ranking through season six. So this is not our finale podcast.
Right. No, right. We got another season.
We are ready to go again. We have some familiar faces.
Yeah. A few.
I am thrilled. Same. Is the only words I can use. Over the moon, ecstatic. We have to preview these four names.
Yeah.
So let's start with the name that we're least familiar with.
Bailey's boyfriend?
That would be Noah. So, first of all, and I just have to get it out of the way, well done, Bailey. We're not going to harp on it the whole season. We're whatever. It is what it is. We just need to get it on the table.
Or is it well done, Noah?
I mean, we already know that. We're the Bailey ranking guys. That part goes without saying. Anyone who is lucky enough to spend their lives with Bailey is obviously the real winner at war here.
Yeah, exactly.
But from a strictly aesthetic point, we don't know how he plays Survivor yet. He could be first boot. We don't know. From a strictly aesthetic point, well done, Bailey. Also, no, Noah is, he's been a producer. He's involved with the game. He knows kind of what's going on. And he has this person in Bailey who is this legendary Survivor Michigan player.
That's a great resource.
Icon.
Yeah.
Does that help? Do you think having a significant other that is very good at the game, and not just good at the game, but somebody like Bailey who is Survivor minded, where like she thinks about the game, she conceives these strategies, these wacky out there sometimes things, but she's thinking about the game. Is that a good thing to have in your corner?
I think so. I mean, you have somebody who's done this twice now that you can talk to, that you can talk to and trust, and then run your scenarios by them. Yeah, I would 100% think so.
I think having a sounding board is totally underrated.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you had to pick a Survivor sounding board, Bailey, she would be in the upper tier of people I would pick. Yeah. So I think that's huge for him. So even though he's somebody we have less of a read on, I'm very excited to watch him play.
Same.
Very, very excited.
And we'll probably get some Bailey cameos too.
Hell yeah. Bailey will be filling the Brian role in season six of the delightful significant other cameos. So now let's move on to these other three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Joe, Katie is going to play Survivor.
I'm so excited to see Katie play. We are stans.
We are Katie fans. We love Katie so much. Katie is just going to so easily slide into that Bailey role. I can already feel of just the guy, the person, the power rankings guys cannot talk enough about.
We'll have to like just cross out Bailey's name lightly and just put Katie ranking guys. It's going to happen. Make the t-shirts.
Oh my gosh. This is going to be so fun.
Yeah.
I also feel like Katie is from what we see of her. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, we did a after show with Katie. Mm. We've all been Twitter mutuals for several years now. Yeah. I think Katie is going to immediately be able to reduce her threat level. Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she is one of these powerhouse players that reads as unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think people are... I think in like looking at the two other guys that we're going to talk about next, I think when you look at people to be afraid of, I think the cast is going to be like, oh, we have to be afraid of these two dudes. When really, Katie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll benefit from having other like big names there too, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's not going into this with the biggest target on her back, but she's also somebody who has a lot of really reliable Survivor knowledge. She's really strong. The sky is the limit for Katie here. I'm so plugged up right now. I don't even know where this is coming from. That's why I did a shot of whiskey before we started this to try and combat that. And it worked for like the first half hour, but I'm not going to do another shot because I'm going to be like mildly drunk.
Very excited for her. And I think it's going to be really cool to just like see how she plays, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just from producer to player. yeah, I'm very intrigued on how
this is kind of the closest we've gotten so far to kind of like a celebrity Survivor.
Yeah.
With like these people that we know from other things. Mm-hmm. Like even though they're things in the Survivor world, right?
Right.
We know them for as non NPCs as we call them throughout All Stars. Mm-hmm. Like we know them as NPCs and now they're jumping into the game. I'm thrilled. Yeah. So George is here.
How is he here? I need to know.
We get this whole, like, on the Instagram post when they announce the cast, there's this whole, like, thing about he's, like, he worked for the university and he's going to play, but he's telling them that he's on, like, a work study. And I'm just like, George, it's already so good. I'm already so here for this.
Yeah.
It's sort of like if Cooper and Dale had a baby is what we're already getting from George. He's giving us this whole, like, I'm going to tell him it's this, but it's really this and it's that and it's whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, I'm the host. I like come in, whatever. Like nobody's ever going to let me win. So like, just be my buddy, whatever. So excited.
I know. It's like, you just never, who would have ever thought that we'd see him as a player after he hosted season one? Like,
never.
That was not on my bingo card.
Wildest dreams. And then, who would have thought there would be anybody we could be more excited to see than George? And yet, here comes Ian.
This is nuts.
So, Ian, first of all, yes to all of this.
Oh, for sure.
I can't even start there. Yes to all of this. But also, Ian comes into this with kind of only Survivor Michigan knowledge. Like, he's not a Survivor guy at this point.
Oh, so that's a good point.
He's coming into this show kind of not even having any, or at least a lot of context for CBS Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
He is just a Survivor Michigan guy, which, according to Mike, I'm fully like having an allergic reaction.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, I have no idea what's going on. At any rate, I'm going to just keep talking through this. Okay. This is going to look crazy as hell on YouTube.
Do you need to go grab like a antihistamine or something?
No, because I don't know what the hell is going on.
I hope you're not allergic to season six.
I know I'm not. I also forgot that Sam can edit this out, so I don't just have to keep powering.
Oh, that's
through.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sam, we're gonna take a break for a second. Yeah. Do you need to go get something?
I think I'm all right. My eyes just started to water all of a sudden.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Do you need to go like flush them out?
No, I think I'm all right. I just need to like get back to square one.
Okay.
We haven't podcasted in a while.
Yeah, your body's like, what is this? What are you doing?
I mean, I'm used to talking for an hour straight, but that's just, that's just what my life is like. Okay. All right. So we're resuming.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Before we resume, how are we talking? We talk about Ian.
Ian, okay. Yeah. I think you were about to say something profound, but then you had an attack.
That also sounds right. I'm always 10 seconds away from having a revelation and then my body rejects it.
Oh, you were saying that he only has knowledge of Michigan.
Yes.
That's kind of where we left off.
So I think the thing that's so interesting about Ian is that he's somebody that comes to this with just Survivor Michigan knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a big CBS Survivor guy before this. I think at one point he says he's only seen like one full season or maybe not even that, which is really wild.
Right.
And this leads us to the conversation we had at the top of the hour, which is that on Instagram, when Ian's post got leaked, it said that he has the number one Survivor knowledge of anybody in the world. And I was kind of like, I thought that was our gig. I thought we were the co-number ones fighting every season for who is the official knowingest know-it-all. And now, all of a sudden, I have to log on to Instagram and find out that we have been demoted. We're 2-3 now.
I know.
So
and I'm definitely number three.
Not no, not after correctly predicting the end of All Stars. Now you're number two. Now I'm on the outs. So,
but I mean, I think for him, like, yes, okay, maybe he's only seen Michigan, but he has been editing every player since season two, right? So he has seen what, like 60 people's, maybe like 40, like games from start to finish, 190 to 100 days. Like, yeah. So I understand that. It's almost like, I was trying to think of like a metaphor. It's kind of like, I don't think the Wizard of Oz is the best one to use, but it's kind of like Wizard of Oz then going and playing Survivor.
No, you're
having
totally
known
right.
Everybody's secrets, knowing what everybody has been wishing for and wanting for, you know what I mean? So it's
It's like the narrator jumping into the book.
Yes.
Like it's unprecedented. Mm-hmm. There's not even anything like it you could compare it to, because even like you could say like, oh, it's like Jeff Probst playing Survivor, but Jeff Probst isn't intimately pouring through hundreds of hours of footage trying to edit a show together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not spending all of this time listening to confessionals and doing this and editing a show together. It is true. We joke, obviously, but it is true that no one could possibly know more about Survivor Michigan.
Right.
Not possible.
Yeah.
He would always be number one, even compared to the rest of the crew and all these other people who have worked on this show in the most intimate of ways. Like,
yeah,
he is really going to be a case study in like how much knowledge really translates to game skill, because you can't have more knowledge than he has.
Right.
There will never be a person who plays College Survivor with as much foreknowledge as Ian is going to play it with.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see, like, is that too much? Is it information overload? Do you just kind of like go into the game with a clean slate and then just kind of pick up on things as you see them, like, oh, this person's playing like this person, like, I need, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be very interesting watching him navigate that from editor to player. And yeah, I mean, he's got the free time on his hands now. So that's a plus right there.
I'm so pumped to watch him play. I'm really, truly thrilled because I just think, it is a different. I mean, obviously, we're people who analyze the game. That's what we do on a podcast. You know, we talk about people's games, but there's so much more to Ian's game before day one, before he ever steps on a mat or wears a buff.
Right.
There's so much to talk about with him that I'm thrilled just for every drip of content that we're going to get from him. And it's, you know, obviously, we're on the record as loving Ian, like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing with, like, the same thing. It's like, we know they're going to see this. Like, it's a little bit weird to be super effusive in your praise. You'd be like, we love you guys. Hey, like,
right.
But it's true. And so I would love to see him just destroy.
Yeah.
Like, just go in and just run. Now, granted, we're also going to meet a whole bunch of new players.
I was literally
thinking
that. We're
going to fall in love with. We know. We've been told. So we have been told that season six is supposed to be a great cast. Mm-hmm. That's what we've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these people. Never met any of these people. I've heard they're supposed to be great. I am excited to meet and fall in love with them.
Yes.
Maybe by the end of this thing, we won't even be rooting for the four of these returners.
I was going to say the same thing, like Ian who?
We don't need to see that anymore. We're done with them. So I'm excited for that as well.
Yeah, me too.
It takes us back to remembering season one and following on Instagram and seeing those pictures and, you know, my very first thing being like, I'm picking Cooper. Cooper's my dude. Season one, round one, being like, love him. And then, you know, falling in love with Mitch and, you know, Liz and the whole saga of Liz and loving her. And then all of these other season one icons, like it's Christmas again.
Yeah.
Survivor Michigan is back, baby. And we're back
so
with
exciting.
It. We're excited. We're going to be with you guys all season, power ranking. So, there is one more thing we have to pitch.
Yes. I was going to remind you if you forgot.
This is so disjointed. I'm dying midway through the podcast.
Yeah, we
My
have to wrap this up soon so you can go get
like,
some.
Rejecting
help.
Me. We're dead. So, anyhow, so while we're on the subject, Joe and I met through College Survivor. and then met in person for the first time because Joe dragged me to a live reality game and insisted that I applied, played a game, and totally life-changing experience. Love it. I'm eternally grateful to him for it.
Aww.
Blah, 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 whatever. Talking nice about people who are in the room. So fast forward a couple years. We've both had the privilege to play several games now. Have a good time doing that. We've both crewed several games. And earlier this year, kind of decided it was time to launch a game. So we've done that. So summer 2024, we're launching a game called The Challenge Great Lakes, based off of MTV's The Challenge, show we grew up watching, loving, all of those things. So I'm one of the creators, executive producers. I'm going to be one of the co-hosts. Joe is going to be the live stream guy. So you guys are going to be with Joe all weekend for 4 days. He's going to be bringing everybody all the action. And we say this for two reasons. Number one, we would love you guys to watch next summer. So we're going to continue to remind you as the dates get closer and whatever. We would love for you guys to stream along with us. And also, applications are open. So if you've been watching Survivor Michigan for years, you think I'd love to play a game, you've been watching The Challenge, you think I'd love to do that, apply. You can follow The Challenge Great Lakes on Facebook or on Instagram. You can DM either one of us for the application link. We'll send it to you. We'd love to have any of you come play. We'd love to have you watch the stream next summer and support us on our next Power Rankings Guys adventure.
And I will say, I'm just along for the ride on this. Like, I've seen things about this game that they're putting on, and it is going to be incredible. Like, I've never put more faith in people than I have with this situation. And like, when I've been trying to reach out to people to apply and stuff, and I'm like, trust me, it's going to be a good game. Like, it is in great hands. Like, Paul and his bestie and another friend of ours are really running the whole ship here. Like I said, I'm just along for the ride, but like, it's going to be really fun, and I'm excited to see it all played out. So yeah, if you're in Michigan, even if you're not in Michigan, if you want to play a live game, maybe your Michigan season was years ago and you're ready to get back out there, like, please apply. We'd love to have you.
We'd love to have you. Yeah, and there's nothing else to say. The Power Rankings guys are back, baby.
Woo!
Better than ever, question mark? Maybe. We'll find out.
We have a tough act to follow.
We got a tough act to follow. As always, I'm Paul. I've been here with Joe. Thank you. And have a great night. We can't wait to spend the season with you. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.